have no holy boxes or whatever else it be, but we have a holy book. And God speaks to us. He sends us what? Faith through this book. And when we come together today, our faith needs to grow. Your faith has to come to you. Otherwise, bye-bye. You might as well go now. Faith wants to come into your heart. And some of the people who are going to help me in my sermon are supposed to sit in the second row or third. So if you were asked to come and you're not where you're supposed to be, please come up. I need help. I ask you. Open minds is the title of our sermon. Open minds, praise the Lord. And if you want to look it up more on the web, some of this is on the web at that site. I'm supposed to press something and here it comes. Thank you. This is such a mystery, but so are many other things. Turn to Luke. Open your Bibles. If you brought Bibles, open them and mark them. If you didn't, use one in front of you. But we'll stay more or less on Luke 24 today. The last chapter in Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And praise the Lord, it's a wonderful story of two people going away from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And it's a simple story. But if you really read it deeply, it's one of the greatest stories ever told. Because the news of this chapter is Jesus is risen. And because he is risen, we have this hope that we also will rise again. Praise the Lord. So our limitations are rather temporary. Luke 24. Verse 14 and 15, maybe I should start out with 13. Now behold, and I will relax. And like Jesus, when he spoke, he sat down. When Rudy speaks, he sits down. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, New King James Version. What was the day, the same day? What day was it? It was a resurrection day. What day? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? It was Sunday. Praise the Lord for the resurrection day. Am I right? Because Jesus was resurrected, I have the hope of a resurrection also. And so the resurrection day was just a terrific day. And those two disciples had left Jerusalem. They're going home. They were going home too early. Right? They didn't get the right message. They didn't understand what was going on. How did this go back? What am I doing wrong? Everything? No? Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. They talked together of the crucifixion, verse 14. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. They talked of the crucifixion. And I pressed something. Pardon? Push the forward button. Thank you. I have only two hands. That's my problem. And they talked together of all the things that had happened. They talked of the crucifixion. They talked of the death of Jesus and how sad they were that prophet that was among them had been killed. And their hope was gone. So, but as they were walking there and talking, verse 15, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Beautiful. They were just walking along, and here comes this stranger they didn't recognize, and he walked with them. And that was one of the greatest walks they ever had. Have you ever walked with Jesus? Has Jesus ever come into your life when you were walking someplace in trouble, sad, disappointed? And Jesus comes and encourages you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He walks with us and he talks with us and he tells us that what? We are zone. That's good, that's good, that's really good. Thank you. You see, we have some wonderful people here. Amen. Who make life easier. Oh, praise the Lord. And so Jesus walked with them. Ah. And they walked with Jesus. Praise the Lord. And then in verse 21, we go on there. One of them answers and says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. We were hoping. You know, how many people live by false hope? They had a false hope. They thought that the Messiah would free them from the Roman Empire. They had a false hope. They did not know that the Messiah was going to free them from sin. And I think sometimes we have a little bit of a false hope that just because we go to church, all things are going to be well with us. That we're going to have trouble, even if we go to church, am I right? And some of you might have greater trouble because you go to church. But you also have greater strength because the great Lord guides us. We were hoping that it was Christ. And so their long-range hope was all right. And then in verse 22 and 24 to 25, it talks about Mary and Peter going to the tomb and finding it empty. Now, they should have rejoiced at that and right away realized the prophecy of Jesus in the Old Testament, because it says, he said many times that his tomb would be empty, or that he would be raised to a new life. But they didn't hear him. It was very interesting that the priests actually were the ones who understood his resurrection, because they went to Pilate and asked for soldiers to guard his tomb so that nobody would do any harm there. And then verse 27 is a terrific text. Luke 24, 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scripture, the things concerning himself. In all the scripture, the things concerning himself. This is the mother of all Bible studies. Jesus himself opened their eyes, opened their mind, opened their understanding as he read those texts about himself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful Bible study that was. In verse 27, it adds one more book. In verse 44, I'm sorry, it adds one more book. And then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So there were three parts of the Old Testament that Jesus referred to. The books of Moses. What are the books of Moses? The first five. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And right in the beginning of our most precious book is a prophecy, and we'll come to it in a minute. And then, of course, the prophets, and the great one of the greatest of the prophets was Isaiah, and then Psalms. So Jesus explained the Old Testament. They now understood, they could understand, they hadn't understood the Old Testament. And how often we go on not understanding how the way the Lord leads us because we do not understand the scripture good enough. And then verse 31 and 32 and then 45, I have to emphasize. I read it again and it was wonderfully read by our young Mr. Diemsbeenstorfer. Then their eyes were open. Their eyes were open. They had closed eyes before. And how many times we go around with closed eyes, grabbing around, not seeing what God wants us to see. God can open our spiritual eyes. Am I right? Yes. So that we would understand what is coming our way and praise Him nevertheless. Then their eyes were open and they knew Him. Oh, that our eyes would be open and that we would recognize that angels are around us continuously. Am I right? We might not see them in a physical sense, but we have a sense of holiness. We have a sense that Jesus is here and with His angels. And they said to one another, oh, this is what I love so much. Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the scriptures to us? Did not our hearts burn within us? Were not we thrilled that Christ has been risen? That Christ is with us? You know, we are far too sedate. We are kind of a conservative, quiet type of group. Our hearts need to burn within us. When the Lord reveals new truth to us and makes plain what He has given long ago. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Our hearts burn within us as He talked with us on the road and while He opened the scripture to us. What sets you on fire? We have some people here in the front. What sets you on fire? You have a mic? Good, use it and pass it on.
I was just thinking that when I step out in faith and do things that are not normally in my comfort zone and cause me to rely on Jesus, there's such a blessing in that. That fills me with hope and with motivation to continue on. A lot of times, sadly, fear holds me back, but as I'm letting go of some of that and stepping out in faith and doing things that that God puts before me, I can see Him working, and it sets me on fire. It
makes praise
me
the Lord.
Want
praise
to go
the Lord.
More.
Give it to Gloria.
She's got one.
She got one. You know, faith overcomes fear. Isn't that what we need to keep continuously in our minds? Yes. Whenever we have some fear, we go to faith. Gloria.
I think I would have to echo what Carolyn said, is that what sets me on fire is my answered prayers to trust the Lord. Because I always think that I trust the Lord, but I take that back in so many instances. I want to trust Him, but yet I take that control back. But those times that when I do trust the Lord and I see, then He gives me the wisdom to know that when I've trusted the Lord and He is there for me, that realization, that's what sets me on fire.
You have to give up some control?
Yes.
Enlarge on that one. That's interesting. You're the only one like that. Okay, Mike, help her out.
I was thinking what sets
Kelly,
me on
fire. Kelly, you were next, you know.
What sets me on fire is when I've been praying for someone or somebody to find Jesus, and you talk to them, and they see Jesus in their life. They see that they need him, and you haven't really had to say much about it other than to talk to Jesus about it.
Amen.
And when you see him again, you realize that your prayers are being answered in their life, and it makes you want to do it more. For people that maybe you least like, maybe they can find Jesus too.
Oh, just a minute. You have people like that?
Yes.
Oh, you're the only one like that. Okay, for Kelly.
It's pretty hard to follow those. You know, I agree as far as everything they've said, but I think sometimes it's the personal will set the fire as well. And sometimes you see God answer in something so small, and you think, how could God care about something so little when there's so many big things going on? And just those little things really can make a big difference in Amen. The fire in your own life.
Amen. You know what set me on fire this week? There were three people that came to study the Bible with us the first time. And praise the Lord for each one of those. And there's no greater thrill than to be able to open the Bible to somebody who hasn't opened it. We had one lady come to us and she says, oh, I brought my Bible. I looked at it and it wasn't the Bible. It was a New Testament. It was just like 60 years ago when I didn't know the difference between a New Testament and a Bible. And she didn't know the difference between the New Testament and a Bible. And we opened the Bible and praised the Lord. Well, each one of you have some type of a spark plug. Am I right? That sets you on fire. You know, our cars wouldn't run without spark plugs. Am I right? We used to clean them and so on. Nowadays, I don't touch anything underneath that hood anymore. I'm scared because it's far too complex for me. But we used to have points, you know, a distributor that rotates around. I think some of you who've been around a few years know what a distributor is. But the Lord is a distributor of the spark plug. He distributes a spark of God, the fire of God among us. Praise the Lord. Went too fast. There are five, when we studied the Bible, and this is actually a Bible study, don't call it a sermon, because it's a dialogue. And there are five W questions and one H question. That's kind of the reporter's question. Who, what, when and where, why and how. Anyway, those are the six that I use continuously. And when I come to a story like the story of here of Emmaus, I ask those six questions, and finding the answers makes it plainer, helps me understand it. And so let's go on with those questions. Who is it talking about? Luke wrote it. Jesus taught it. Oh, I added that. With obvious affection. I came across that expression this week. Obvious affection. When you meet somebody, do you project that you really like them? Is there an obvious affection? I know you have to. Some of you have to be careful because you don't want to be too obvious. But somehow, I think if we make mistakes, we make mistakes on the other side, right? Sometimes we come to some place and nobody acknowledges you, nobody greets you, nobody. This is not this church. This church has a lot of people who have obvious affection. And when you go out today, don't rush out. Stay in the back there for a while, outside there. And show your obvious affection of your brothers and sisters and of the visitors. Praise the Lord, right? Jesus had that obvious affection, that magnetic affection. He attracted people. And basically, the Lord wants us to have a similar expression of affection that would encourage others. Praise the Lord. And the disciples walked it. Cleopas learned it. Cleopas was one of the two disciples. We don't know who the other fellow was. And it might have been his wife. We don't know. Anyway, no place does it tell us. When and where? That same day, on Sunday, on the resurrection day, on one of the most important days in the history of the world, they were going away from Jerusalem. They were on the wrong road. They should be going to Jerusalem or stay in Jerusalem, but they went away on the road of the Emmaus. It's a 7-mile walk. It's some time ago I walked 7 miles, but I haven't done it last year. 7 miles is a good walk, and it would take, what, about 3 hours normally? 2-3 hours, it's a good walk. They got there toward evening. Darkness was already falling, and they realized that they had to be at home at that time. And why the Bible study? Why the Bible study? Now, Jesus didn't go and open his Bible. Jesus didn't have a physical Bible, am I right? He didn't go around with a scroll. How could he give a Bible study if he didn't have a Bible? Pardon?
He is the Bible.
Memorized, too. He knew all what he was talking about. He knew most likely Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He knew the 5 books of Moses. He knew most likely Isaiah. He knew how to sing all the Psalms. How many Psalms are there? 150. 3 months worth of reading, if you read one every day or sing one every day. But he had to explain his own suffering. Because suffering is something that is kind of a negative thing, am I right? We don't want to suffer. And they could not understand that Jesus, God, would have to suffer. And he explained it to them. He explained the delayed glory. They thought of a Messiah who would come and kick out the Romans, right? And in brightness, they were thinking of the second coming, in some sense. They missed the first coming in some ways because they didn't understand it all. And then he spoke to them to set their hearts on fire. Praise the Lord. And their hearts were on fire. Actually, after this talk, this walk to Emmaus, they were so thrilled, they couldn't finish their supper that Jesus had started. They were so thrilled with it, they said, we have to go and tell the other disciples. They had to apply the Word of God right away. They had to do something about it. And when we get the Word of God in us with some power, we have to do something. We have to share it. Am I right? When you read your Bible and you find something wonderful, do you just sit there and say, thanks, Lord, I needed that? He doesn't give it to you just for you so that you would sit there and enjoy it. He gives it to you to what? To share. To share. And he brings people into your life continuously with whom you can share it. Comment from the peanut gallery.
I was thinking that just before this, the ladies had been so on fire and excited to go to the tomb, and they tried to come back and tell them, and they thought of the story that they were telling them as nonsense. Exactly. And it took Jesus to come and tell them it's not nonsense. Their minds really were closed. They were closed thinking, no, that couldn't really happen. But when he started talking to them, and their eyes opened, they saw him break the bread like he had done in their presence. And their eyes were open. And as soon as their eyes were open, he vanished.
Could it be, Gloria, could it be that Many times our eyes have been closed and large.
If I gave a personal account of how many times my eyes would be closed, we'd be here all day. It suffice to say, yes, that's true, though. That's our human nature. Sometimes our eyes are closed until he opens them for us.
And do we do it? Is it our work to open the eyes of people?
No.
We pray for them, and the Lord opens their eyes, and the Lord opens our eyes. And when the Lord opens our eyes, we see the needs of all the people that we meet. Am I right? And God points out some of those needs and gives you power to supply them or to react to them, sometimes in one sentence. You know, you can actually bring to the Lord Jesus one person that has never accepted him just in one or two or three sentences. After church, right here, and there are continuously people like that, and you can be the instrument of God through the Word of God. Praise the Lord. To open their understanding. Our understanding, I think, is still limited. Am I right? There's so much more that we need to understand. The opportunities that God gives us, the privileges God gives us. Praise the Lord. It's the why of Bible study. How did Jesus teach? By example, by questioning. Oh, he keeps asking questions. Is that a good way of teaching? You're a teacher, Kelly. What do you used to teach with?
Questions are very good, leading to think for yourself to come up with the answer, or dig to discover the answer.
Oh, just a minute. You, that's wrong here. We don't want people to think for themselves. We might get into trouble. Often we think that we have all the answers. You came to a Seventh-day Adventist church, and Adventists know their Bible. They have answer for every question. Amen or not amen?
No, through the Holy Spirit, we have to continue questioning and discover the truths there that he has for us.
Well, we have some disagreement here. Praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus taught often by example. He taught by questioning. I'm amazed when I study this, the passage in 24, there are six questions that Jesus asked. He continuously confronts us. I'm kind of getting sometimes scared to ask questions because when I've asked some questions and I got bawled out for asking the question. But ask questions anyway. Keep asking questions because that's a relational issue. The living the good news. Jesus, like you said, is the good news, is the gospel. And he explained the Old Testament. This is the mother of all Bible studies. This is the first Bible study of a resurrected Jesus. Praise the Lord. And we today can have similar Bible studies in the name of Jesus, in the book of Jesus. Am I right? We have all these privileges that are so powerful. Okay, we go through the very fast to the three sources that Jesus most likely used to explain himself. The first one is in Genesis 3, and that one, Genesis 3, 15, 14, and around there. Let's turn to it. It's easy to find. Genesis 3. I kind of used to kind of ignore it, and I never was quite sure what it really meant. But it's very plain there. It's called the first gospel. Because Jesus here reveals that he is going to be victorious over sin. That's a good news in Genesis. It's also called Pret Evangelium. first gospel, Genesis 3:15. Let me read it. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Okay. Satan and Christ are enemies. Am I right? So basically, our common enemy as a Christian is the devil. We have nothing, no part with him. Am I right? We don't want to compromise with him. He's our enemy. The Messiah will crush the devil's head. That's what it says. He and so on. Now, if somebody's head is crushed completely, boom, can he keep on living? A crushed head means death. And at the end of time, the devil is going to be put to death. My own opinion is that I wish he would have done that earlier, so that we wouldn't have all the temptations and difficulties and so on. But God knows his time. The devil will bruise Christ's heel. Now, does somebody die when his heels are bruised? Did the devil do that? The devil sure was after Jesus all the time that Jesus was on this earth. Right from birth, he was going to kill him. Right from birth on. And many times, the three temptations, throw yourself off from this power, from this pinnacle, and all other ways. So Christ's heel was bruised, and the devil and the ground are cursed later on. So for Moses, he explained this text that I am the Messiah, that Jesus, when he said, "I am the Messiah, I am the one." He didn't say "I," actually. He said that Jesus, right? Because he didn't reveal himself until afterwards. Okay, I better get that straight. Psalm 22, turn to it. Oh, what a psalm. What a psalm, Psalm 22. And this is a psalm that Jesus sang many times and that he knew so well and that all the disciples knew so well. A psalm of David, and it starts, my God, why have you forsaken me? Verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Here, Jesus describes clearly the type of death he would die of on the cross. Pierced hands, pierced feet. And verse 18, they divide my garments among them. Jesus most likely had five garments, and they were divided. There were four soldiers, and each one got one. And then they didn't know what to do with his tunic, and they didn't want to rip it, and so they cast lots for it. Here is so much detail. This is the Messiah. This is the one who was supposed to come. This is the one who came. The Messiah is alive, he's risen. Praise the Lord. And then Isaiah 53. Ah, what a wonderful prophecy there, Isaiah 53. Mark those chapters and read them. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and he carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Praise the Lord, we're healed from sin. God sent his son into the world to save me. Oh, I still remember sitting in the Bell Harris class at Walla Walla College with my kind wife. She got an A, I didn't get an A. But praise the Lord. And the word that he emphasized, but. He was born, he bore our grief, but he was wounded for our transgressions. They didn't realize all what went on the cross, and Jesus made that plain. You know, I think we often don't realize what's going on the cross too. We need to read this Isaiah 53. We need to read those prophecies to appreciate, am I right, the cross? And then, like a lamb, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. You know, it's interesting. We won't go there to Acts 8, but in the afternoon, if you have time, write it down, Acts 8, 29, 40. This is a very chapter of Isaiah that the Ethiopian in his chariot was reading, and Philip was coming along, trotting alongside, and he heard him, and he recognized it. And he says, do you understand? And then he explained it. Jesus uses the scriptures all along. And this is the most holy, most wonderful, most thrilling book that you can ever have. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 53. So tell us, Carolyn, what opens your mind? How does that happen? I think I was there at some times when your mind was open, when we studied the Bible. But before and after, what opens your mind? What gives you that insight that God gives you?
Well, the Holy Spirit gives me the insight, and he ultimately is the one that opens my mind. What makes me willing to is questions, seeking answers. Sometimes I have other people ask me questions. I don't know the answer, so I'm, you know, return back to Scripture. And as I read it again in looking for an answer maybe to give to somebody else, I find answers for myself, and I feel like it opens my mind. And I can reread things that maybe I just glanced over before, and it's like Christ has given me, or the Holy Spirit has given me, new eyes and new understanding to what I'm reading now as I'm searching for answers.
We need to dig, huh?
Dig.
We need to expose ourselves. We need to try to fully understand what the Scripture says, right?
And at times I find that I fight so hard that I'm sometimes falling on my face, so to speak, before God, because I don't understand and I don't have peace. And once he brings that understanding, there's just that overwhelming sense of peace that he gives me. But in searching for, sometimes it causes me to struggle and causes me to really fight with what I believe. And as he's opening my eyes, I think sometimes I might even be fighting him, and he's prying my eyes open.
And we're in trouble when our eyes are closed, am I right?
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on. If I close my eyes, if I would have abandoned, I wouldn't know what's going on. And God needs to open our eyes, our minds. Gloria. What opens your mind? And then we keep on going.
I would have to echo what Carolyn said, and I really believe it's the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe there has been a time that when I have opened my Bible that the Holy Spirit wasn't there guiding me, teaching me something new, something different, something deeper.
So what we can do is open the Bible, right? As we open the Bible, the Lord opens our eyes, he opens our understanding, am I right? So there's more going on than just opening of a book. It's terrific. Praise the Lord that as we open the book, our minds are open, our eyes are open, and the Lord speaks. Michael.
Yeah, I was thinking that sometimes I just pick a book and start reading, and I've read it before, but it'll open my eyes to a whole new meaning of it, something that I didn't realize before. It kind of gives you a little excitement that, wow, I didn't see this before. And you do want to tell somebody else about it. Sometimes you got to be careful that they can't understand that too. It kind of lets you down sometimes when they don't see it. But you know personally that it's truth. And it's truth that's come personally to you from God.
Amen.
And it makes you want to find more of them, more of those.
Because it's so precious.
It's precious.
I think it's definitely the Holy Spirit, but there's also a willingness to lay down what maybe you thought it meant in the past, to be open that there could be more there that we haven't yet learned.
We should call ourselves the open church. Am I right? Oh, I don't see anybody agreeing with me. Open church, I mean, where the Holy Spirit open, where we are open to the Holy Spirit, where we openly welcome people. I don't get enough excitement on that one. But, you know, my own reaction is, as we give Bible studies, many Bible studies we give over and over again, and we are continuously amazed that nearly in every Bible study, some new thing comes out. We might have studied that for 10 times, and we get together, and that's why I like small groups, because small groups become alive, and the Holy Spirit can speak through a member of the small group and encourage others. And sometimes God uses people who have no background in the Bible to give insight into a text. I'm continuously amazed that the type of people and the comments that we hear, that they're terrific. They're such insight. The Holy Spirit speaks through a lot of people. My illustration was not appropriate, so I cut it out. Let Jesus walk with you. The disciples talked hope. Jesus asked 6 questions. Jesus explained the Bible. And then Jesus gave them blessed bread. I think that was such a wonderful thing that the disciples urged Jesus to come into their home with them. You have to come. Oh, no. Jesus kind of pretended like he was going on and, you know, can't really bother you. And 2 or 3 times, you know, I think we fail in that when we are trying to be hospitable and we ask somebody and they said, oh, not today, and then that's it. So we need to right away make an appointment for the next time. And you can get such a blessing out of inviting somebody over as you have never done before. The greatest Sabbath dinner that I attended ever was with Richard Roberts in Beals Park, a Sabbath dinner, February 2, a few years ago when he was still alive.
Beals Point,
thank you. He was homeless, he was camping there at Beals Point, and my kind wife prepared a wonderful Sabbath dinner for him. And we went there, and it's still one of the great high points of my life as we ate there and celebrated his birthday. Celebrated God's goodness. He was maybe homeless on this earth, but the Lord took him home because he just was not fit for this world. Am I right? Anyway, praise the Lord. So we read the scripture. And I'm sorry, the disciples tell their story. When Jesus talked to them, they couldn't be quiet. They had to go back and tell the other disciples. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to continuously find the nuggets in the Bible and then share them. Start a small group of Bible study in your home. Two or three people is enough, four people is enough, five or whatever you have. But study the Bible together. We'll come to that yet. So there are three things in Bible studies: read, understand, and apply. And much of Bible study is trying to understand what the book says. Be deeper into it. But the most important part is the application. Closed or open? The tomb was open. Am I right? Tombs are not supposed to be open. I have never seen an open tomb after somebody was buried in there. Oh, I did. But we had to move a grave from first base on our playground in school when I was teaching my first year. But the man didn't rise up. We carried him away. Closed and open, but it's an open tomb. It's an open home that the disciples had. They could ask Jesus right away to their home. It wasn't so cluttered. They were not worried. He came in and blessed it. An open Bible, an open book. Praise the Lord for it. But the great things that God gives us is open minds. We are too easily have closed minds. And the Lord gives us open minds as we read the book, as we try to study. This is your greatest anti-Alzheimer game that you can ever get, is go into the Bible and try to understand it. You will be sharp as a tack. And on the end, the Lord opened heaven for Jesus. 40 days afterwards, Jesus went up to heaven. Christ is risen is a message of Luke 24. Praise the Lord, Christ is risen. And we understand it. We know, we treasure it. Okay. Anybody, all of you, especially the little ones. Morgan, I want you to answer too. Okay. Peter found the tomb empty. Am I right? Number two, Jesus met two disciples going to Emmaus. All of you answer. Jesus, the Bible to them. Explain the Bible to them. The disciples, their home. Opened. Praise the Lord that they opened their home. Number five, after prayers, their eyes were open. That's right, Morgan. On the road, their hearts were burning within them. Jesus opened their minds, and heaven open for Jesus. Jesus is coming again, and heaven is going to open for whom? For us. Praise the Lord. And this was an inductive Bible study, which moves from a passage to application. Most of my Bible study takes a longer passage and tries to understand it and apply it. It's called inductive Bible study. Some of the groups here in this church use this. The other one is a deductive Bible study that is also used, where people take a topic and then find all the texts that are speaking about this topic, and you study it and try to understand the topic that way. I make no apology for the first system. We pray before we start. remark our Bibles, because once we go back, we're reminded of what we learned. You know, if I don't mark my Bible, I don't learn it good enough. I don't remember it. I come to it again, and I says, oh, I don't remember. But if I mark it, it stays with me. And then I look for lists, like in this passage. I looked for all the questions in this passage. Six of them. Jesus used six questions to help teach us. The open book. You can open it. It's not closed. You know, when I was a boy in Czechoslovakia, we had no Bibles. Bibles were forbidden books. I never saw a Bible until I was about 16, 17. I missed 16, 17 years of Bible study. But praise the Lord. What did I do now? Did I do something? Oh, this is the last one. Good. Anyway, open your Bible and keep it open. And don't give up on it. Some parts might be hard. If you have any difficulty, start in John or 1 John. It's a powerful book. It's terrific. Get Bibled up. Get Bibled up. I hear the word now, lawyered up. Get lawyered up. Get dressed up. How many expressions like that are there? Can you think of one, Mike? Okay. Anyway, get Bibled up. Get the Bible in you. And there are four methods, four places where you need to get Bibled up as we close this session. And do it with passion and compassion. One of them is alone. We need to be with the book alone, and the Holy Spirit needs to speak to us alone. Am I right? And then we have families at home, and we can share what we have learned in the Bible with other members. And this is more powerful. Your testimony of what you learn is more powerful than preaching or telling people what to do. This is what you learn. This is who. This is a testimony. So every morning, Jimmy, read your Bible and come to Patty and tell her, look what I found, a treasure. Praise the Lord, Jimmy. Number three, with friends. Join a small group, have a small group, have neighbors over with whom you can study the Bible and praise the Lord. And then at last and not least, with a church. May you come to Sabbath school class with the Bible. May this be a Bible-centered church where the most important part is the Bible, guided as it guides us with the Holy Spirit. And then we will have the passion that Jesus wants us to have. Praise the Lord. And we will teach with the compassion that he gives us. Praise the Lord. What's next? Benediction. Okay, shall we? Gloria will pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the message that you've given Pastor Climes to give to us. We ask, Lord, that we truly open our minds to you and to your word. And we ask that as a congregation, we begin to all have open minds and to study your words in the manner in which we just talked about today. We thank you, Lord, for being here today and to teaching us these wonderful ways of living to grow close to you. Be with us now as we leave your church and we go about the week. Stay with us, Lord. Stay with us as we study alone, as we study with our families, as we study with our friends. And Lord, be with us as we return next week to study with our church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.